Hey,
what's
do,
going
baby?
on?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yes, West Coast Wednesday.
Wednesday.
You know,
Wednesday.
we both repping our winning teams right now, right?
Oh, yeah, we have to. Hey, World Chat Sports, everyone.
Right, yes, and thank you for joining. Hey, we know the Lakers game is on. We're going to try and keep this short and sweet because I know we all want to catch – I know we want to catch at least the fourth quarter, if nothing else, if nothing more. But
yeah,
we know that most of you at home can stream this on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, while you're watching the game on your TV. So feel free to share, send the link around, and we'll get it going here. I just want to make a few shares too.
So if you guys didn't peep us through the week, we were on 88.9 KNPR. Just did a little quick blip about, you know, sports happening in Vegas. Same things we chat about on the show all the time, but it was a good opportunity to try to have that platform as well and probably gain a new audience, you know?
Yeah, so it was nice. And shout out to Joe Schumann and for also Chris Chapman too for you know, that's thinking of us and...
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fun. I enjoyed it, you know? Something we haven't been able to do for a while, right?
Yeah, it kind of felt nice to kind of have that studio type of thing. But, you know, it was cool. I liked it.
But home is where the heart is. And
home
this
is where, safe
where is. We are each and every one.
Home is where we're safe, okay? We're always safe in our own homes. Hopefully everybody's still remaining safe and moving cautiously a little bit, masking up. And practicing some social distancing. You know, I know everyone wants to kind of get out and it's getting a little, you know, you get a little kind of sick in the house some, but you know, we have to be safe right now. You know, we have to just kind of take the precautions that are necessary to keep us safe to further live on, you know?
Yeah, because we'll definitely get into it too with regards to NFL having a couple COVID tests. There being a game that's getting postponed right now, and it'll definitely be affecting your fantasy football should something happen and it not end up being played right away. I'm just curious how fantasy football is going to go.
Day game. They're thinking more likely on the stretch of Tuesday, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we'll talk about the other teams that are still being cautionary tales of what happens when you're not doing the right thing. Not wearing your mask, attending events that you're not supposed to be attending, possibly with
or having,
and having events with no mask or taking the mask off so people can see your face and you feel like that's okay. But
yes,
we're in a time right now that, you know, we have to really be careful in order to get over all of this, you know. And I know with things open up, we always have that perception of normalcy or new normal. But I will stress it again. Nothing is normal about me walking out the door wearing a mask. I'm sorry. Nothing is normal about me meeting up for friends with dinner with a mask on. I'm sorry. Nothing is normal to me going to a bar wearing a mask. None of that is normal. So I'm ready for it to get back to normalcy. And in order to do so, everybody just needs to do the right thing so we can not have to wear a mask to go to places.
I think we're all ready to be without masks, but it's funny because it's almost like we have to start preparing to keep them forever. Like I continue to be acquiring new masks every week because I don't know.
I know that was my addiction during quarantine. So I'm masked up. Like I've got plenty. I don't want to have to buy anymore is my thing. I want this thing to be over where
to
we can
be
just
done.
Put it in our scrapbook and say, oh, remember that time of 2020 when we had the mask? This is what I was wearing. That's all I want. You know?
You're like, that's all I want. That's it. Is it too much to ask?
Yeah. That she's sporting her Girl Chat Sports visor.
At the gym. Hey. Go ahead and find you a date today, Heather. Come on.
I have a great relationship with Jim. And I need to have that relationship again. So how you're doing it, keep doing it. Be safe. Love that you're out. That's cool.
I gotta do better too. I really haven't been.
I must do better. I must do better. It's just about the act.
Man, it's tough. Yeah. Right? It's tough. And shout out to KT. He did give up some money to the Boiling Crab Fund because of the Seahawks win over the Dallas Cowboys. So I appreciate that.
I know you do.
I also won some money from Fetch from Off the Strip podcast, which is on Sundays. So make sure if you guys are around, we will share that episode so y'all can tune in and give him grief for betting against my team.
Yeah, that was kind of a stupid bet to do. I made a lot of stupid bets. Shout out to my girl Karen over at Nordstrom, one of the best tailors you'll ever want to meet, who won our weekly pick'em week three challenge. I mean, she beasted out of 18 of us. She won. Biggest mistake was picking Baltimore over KC, which I felt was, you know, that's not the greatest pick, but she still won money. So big ups to her. Like, I got to win something. I got to go into this week five winning something. Anybody want to place bets with me? That's fine. Let's do it. I'm just not a big person, though, because I always end up losing. I just go off my gut and then I win. But I was the biggest loser this week. I only won two of my fantasies, two out of my five. I thought I had seven. I only signed up for five, which was a good relief for me. But I won two out of my five, so I'll take that.
I went one and one. The first one in the ladies league, I only won because of the Russell Tyler Lockett connection. That was the only reason why I won that one. The other league, I was just needing Patrick Mahomes to not score too much. And unfortunately, that could not happen.
No, and I regretfully could have won in the women's league with you, not being the top first spot, but I could have kept my ranking because I sat Pat to see what Tannehill was going to do. Biggest mistake ever. And Patrick Mahomes is 11
just sitting there. Yeah, I don't know if I would have made that choice.
Keep Patrick on all the time and only relieve him for Ryan when his week was a bye. And I don't know why I switched up. I just kind of wanted to just have fun and see what it does. But now I know what it does, and I'm never doing that again.
Now you know.
So we have a guest that is waiting for us.
Yes. And let me get him on so we can get this through.
Mornings between 8 and 9 a.m. There he is.
What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, how are you, Mel and Mo?
Yes.
We are good.
Thank you.
Yes. Out of line.
Thanks for joining.
Sports Talk Radio on Sunday mornings. Usually I wake up Sunday mornings, Brian, and you're live on Facebook with your show. And I tap in. Every once in a while, I'll drop in and say hi to you guys. I don't know if you ever noticed, but
100% we do, Mo, and I appreciate it. I'm not even awake yet then. I'm on the air, but I'm not awake. So I appreciate you joining in. And I think I say thank you to everyone after the show when I wake up.
Well, I'm usually asleep on Sundays at that time, but since I have a new puppy, I am sure that I will be up bright and early, ready to tune in for this Sunday.
Perfect. We're gonna have you girls on the show soon as well. We have to.
That'll be good. Well, let's get into it a little bit because I know. Here's the deal: Stanley Cup just wrapped up. Tampa Bay Lightning won, and they beat out the Dallas Stars, who beat us and knocked us out the playoffs. But I think I kind of tuned out of the NHL Stanley Cup for a while since basically we lost. I hadn't realized that it was already Game Six. What, a couple days ago or yesterday? So I think most of the Vegas Golden Knight, you know, family, fans is all kind of like, let's get into hockey a little bit because I know that's one of your main things here. And we want to kind of figure out from you, pick your brain a little bit on what could be happening in this offseason. It seems kind of like a big offseason for us.
It really is. Well, probably the biggest question is we all know in the offseason on my wall behind me somewhere, Marc-Andre Fleury, who you know, the face of the Vegas Golden Knights and really has been one of the most humble, incredible superstars I think we could have asked for to kick off, I should say face off, right? Make it apropos, you know, the NHL hockey in Las Vegas. I mean, he has been nothing but everything you could hope for a face of a franchise to be. And yet people are watching him and saying, well, God, he turns 36 in November. So it's not like he's that old. There's goalies that have played into their 40s. Right. But Mark, he is like five or six concussions deep into a career. And, you know, I believe that they wouldn't even clear him if he had another concussion, which nobody even talks about or thinks about. And secondly, you know, just hockey, it's like any other sport. They're always going to be looking to find somebody better. It's the job of management. It is the job of, you know, Peter DeBoer now before Gerard Gallant. And, And Robin Leonard, you know, a guy that's been around a little bit, but really has come into his own the last couple of years and has put himself into the upper echelon of NHL goaltenders, and he won the job. And I don't think anyone's surprised that he won the job. So now going forward, they lost in the, you know, in the Western Conference final, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, they got through two series. But what's going to happen to Marc-Andre Fleury? And that's what everyone's wondering. And Marc-Andre Fleury came out a little over a week ago, as you guys both know, and said he wants to stay in Vegas. He wants to be here. I think that's admirable. I think that's wonderful. I don't believe him. I don't think anybody wants to sit on the bench. And I think Mark is very well aware of, as long as Robin Leonard signs an official contract long-term with the Vegas Golden Knights, which I believe they will get done, he's the goaltender of the Vegas Golden Knights, and we all have to live with it. Not that any one of us should love Marc-Andre Fleury any less or deem his accomplishments any less great than they were, because they have been unbelievable. He is a bona fide future Hall of Famer without question. But my opinion of Marc-Andre Fleury, the biggest move in the offseason, is he will be gone. I think Marc-Andre Fleury will get an opportunity to play for another franchise. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury, like any other professional athlete, wants to start and be a player. And especially a guy like him, it's got to be a little bit painful, though, to, you know, kind of what happened in Pittsburgh, where he gets weeded out for Murray at the end. He literally, Murray gets hurt before the playoffs in the last year there. He takes him to the Stanley Cup Finals, then gets replaced in the finals by Murray, who becomes healthy, then gets cast off to here. He's, you know, he is a superstar. Everyone in Vegas wants a piece of him. And here we are a couple of years later, two playoff runs, a Stanley Cup final, and he's replaced again. But you have to understand, when you stay in a professional sport into your 30s, people are always going to be looking past you to see who's going to replace this guy. Because when that three goes in front of your age, the numbers on your contract start dwindling. And that's just the way it is. And we all know, as human beings, Mother Nature is undefeated. Oh, she has killed every human ever born. And she will kill all of us eventually, too. And she also ends our careers when we're professional athletes. And at 40 years old, you feel like an old person when you're a professional athlete. That's the way it is. And the last thing, I've taken up too much time, Derek England is the other big question. And, you know, another guy that I guarantee, if Gerard Gallant was forced initially to put a C on the chest of somebody, which DeBoer says he will make a captain of the Golden Knights next year, my feeling is it will probably, I don't want to go out on a limb yet. We'll see. But I think it's going to be Mark Stone. So I'll just say that. Okay. But Derek England would have been the first captain. Number one, the senior statesman. Number two, his ties to Las Vegas. And everyone looks to him for leadership. And yet he didn't play 1 second of the playoffs this year. Hmm. He is, I think Derek England's what, 30? I'm looking right now. I'm going to cheat. He'll be 37 next year at the start of next season. Not this season, but he'll be 37. And Derek England, if he wants to remain in the NHL, my guess is will not be a Golden Knight either next year. But those will be the two most significant moves. We've got the draft coming up, and there are some other contracts that are up, so it is going to be interesting.
And what I noticed, too, also on this, Brian, is how the goalies in particular, especially going into these playoffs and into their final games in these Stanley Cup playoffs, the goaltenders themselves, by size, their stature is much bigger than what we're used to seeing. And that's the same thing with Leonard. He is a much bigger, broader, stronger, in-depth type of guy. And that's probably the push that they need to have, because a lot of these goalies now are bigger in stature, and they're not of a slim build or any of that. They're actually looking almost darn well, if I say almost to a football caliber type of thing.
Yeah.
No, really good perception, Mo. Just like in every other sport, as time goes on, time passes and things change, and players just seem to get bigger in every single sport. And you are right. Leonard is an imposing figure that literally, I mean, the net's only so big, and his body takes up 3/4 of it.
Right.
Well, that helps, where Marc-Andre Fleury is a smaller man. There have been many small goaltenders in history that have done very, very well. One that comes to mind, he played for the Red Wings. It slipped in my mind. I'll think of it. But, you know, he won a cup with the Red Wings and the Calgary Flames, like 5'9". I'll think of him in a minute. But goaltenders traditionally have not been really big guys. But the ones that have been and have been athletic, like a guy like Kenny Dryden years ago, Patrick Waugh is another example that was a pretty imposing figure. Those guys do really well. And Mark Leonard is no different. He is flexible. He is, and he's just big and good. And we saw it with Vasilevskiy for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, my God, he's a big dude. Mm-hmm. And that is a good point, Mo, where maybe another size and stature. And, you know, that what's that old saying in the world, you know, the biggest make the rules, you know, and Robin Leonard's a bigger guy, but you know, it really all comes down to, I think, age, skill, and ability. And I think the Golden Knights want to look to a guy that's going to be behind, in between those pipes for the next 5 or 6 years, where Leonard has that opportunity. If Fleury's between the pipes again, I'm telling you, the guy's got 1 year left in the NHL. That's
right. Oh, man. So with the NHL draft coming up, I think it's like October 6th.
Yes, October 6th or the 9th or something.
So like, do you feel a sense, if we do feel that the Vegas Golden Knights are moving on from a goalie, which particularly here would be Fleury, do you think they're going to be looking to target a rookie as a, you know, a draftee in regards to the goalie situation? Or are they going to pick up somebody else? Because isn't like their salary cap a question too, and they're getting pretty full on the money line, on the money side?
They are, and that's a whole show of conversation, Mel. Honestly, it is a really good point, and that is something that every team in every sport, as you have salary caps now, has to worry about. I think you're always looking for that lights out goaltender, and the one thing, you know, and Mo, yeah, you know, talk the size of them, but the one thing about goalies in the NHL, unlike any other sport, and I talk about it all the time, what makes hockey so interesting and amazing is the goaltender position can literally change the dynamic of an entire NHL postseason. And we've seen it happen throughout history. Jonathan Quick, about 7 years ago for the LA Kings, they made the playoffs on the very last day of the regular season. The eighth seed, and everyone expected them 3-and-done. They won the Stanley Cup out of the AC, and it is because Jonathan Quick, their goaltender, to pardon an old cocky cliche, stood on his head in those postseason. And the Kings were outplayed in almost every series, but you got to get the puck in the net to win the game. And this guy said no. And Marc-Andre Fleury many times in his career has said no, and that's how they've gone deep. So the cool thing about Stanley Cup is if you can find that special goaltender that really can play 2 or 3 weeks of unbelievable hockey and has it in him, you can win a Stanley Cup. So absolutely. But I think more than anything, they're going to be looking for more two-way players. The best hockey teams have the most two-way players, guys that can play at both ends of the ice, offensive and defensive. We had a guy here 2 years ago named Brandon Perry that everyone's like, why isn't he playing more? This guy scores. Yeah. He puts the puck in the net. And everyone liked his prowess and his ability. And he's great. You know, they say soft hands. Brandon Perry has some of the softest hands in the NHL, not to the touch, but to the feel of the puck and the stick. And with what happened is the guy couldn't play defense. Now, every now and again, he'd really light it up here and he'd try. And it would be like, wow, he's playing two ways tonight. No, that's not his MO. And that is to play offense and score goals. We want guys that will play both ways. You know, I mean, you know, a guy that is an absolute gem, and we all got to watch him this year turn into a superstar who I love, and they better find a way to restructure his contract because him and his agent are going to get unhappy about it, and that's Shea Theodore. He's already under contract. He doesn't need a new one. But this guy was, he was the best player for the Golden Knights throughout the playoffs, and I would say maybe the top six in all of the Stanley Cup playoffs. One of his goals against Vancouver is one of the best goals I've ever seen. He literally skated through all five players as a defenseman and put it in the net. There are very few players with his offensive ability. Guys like Bernsey of San Jose is really good. And, of course, Victor Hedman of Tampa Bay might be the best defenseman in the league. But Shea Theodore will start being talked about amongst those guys. And if you don't restructure his contract and make him happy, when his contract is up, he will bail. And they need to recognize that right now. This is a player we cannot afford. If we want to build a franchise around a player, defense wins championships. This is a guy that can play as good a defense as anyone in the league, but he can score goals with the best of them too. So they're going to look – you're always looking for, Mel, players like that when you're going into the draft. Is who's a guy that can be here a long time, has toughness, can play at this level, and yet can play both ends of the ice. And Shea Theodore is a prime example of a guy they're looking for. You're always looking for lights-out defensemen, and I think the Golden Knights would like to find one or two more of those.
Yeah, that makes sense what you're saying right there, because that was a strategy for a lot of these wins, and definitely for a Tampa Bay team to take out the Dallas Stars. That's exactly what their lineup looked like. That's exactly what those players' position roles were, and that's what had them winning on top. Now, they did do their victory parade today, if you will. And it wasn't like a parade like any other.
I got to see it. That's got to be hilarious.
It was in the ocean. It was a harbor. It was a stream of sailboats and those. And everybody that had a boat, that's a boat owner in Florida with some money.
No way.
That's way cool.
Wow. So I have a question
of celebrating a championship win.
That's a whole new way. I don't, you know, me and Mo kind of are new to the hockey game. You know, we kind of were, as most people here in Vegas are, we got really into it once Vegas Golden Knights got here. So my question would be about like our enforcers, like a Ryan Reeves. Do most teams usually have more than one? Are we looking to gain another one that can really throw down on the defensive side as in regards to, you know, how Ryan Reeves puts it down?
You know, it's funny, but, you know, with being, you know, because typically almost in every, in hockey history, your goon, so to speak, is a fourth line winger, which is exactly what Ryan Reeves is. But we have another guy too, that is a bruiser. The thing is, he can also score goals. And if he was forced into that role, he could do it. And that's William Carrier. I'll tell you what, you girls have seen him standing next to him. As a man, you know, I can admit it, man, I'm jealous of Ryan Reeves' body. I mean, that is ridiculous. William Carrier's is the exact same body. Wow. This is a guy that is strong and physical. The difference is William Carrier's a better all-around hockey player and a better goal scorer. Ryan Reeves, what Ryan Reeves brings, the intangible, and we saw that in the one game he was forced to sit out, is other players feel a little more entitled when Reeves is in the game. You know that if you go and lay out Riley Smith on that first line later in the game, somebody's going to be hawking you, and that's Ryan Reeves. And you don't want him not happy with you, because the bottom line is he smiles and he's got that million-dollar smile, but he will kick your ass while he's smiling and have no problem doing it. He doesn't matter if it was your friend when he played for the Blues. He was going after Blues player. He doesn't care. He has a job to do, and his job is not just intimidation and enforcement. It is mental, and the mental part of the game is something that people don't give Ryan Reeves enough credit for. Other teams are always concerned about Reeves and when he's going to be on the ice. And whenever he's on the ice, if you're the other team's enforcer, you're like, oh, crap, because you know they're expecting you to go toe-to-toe with this guy. And I promise you, there's not one guy in the NHL, if he's honest, that you talk to, say, what do you think about going toe-to-toe with Ryan Reeves? They're going to say, yeah, I'll do it. They really don't want to. He's very valuable. And players like him, I think every team wants one. Right now, I think we have the best enforcer in the National Hockey League. But Ryan's got to continue to skate very hard and want it really bad. What Gerard Gallant, talking to him about Ryan Reeves, loved about the guy was his work ethic and his love for the game of hockey, not just going out and fighting people. He accepts with his skill set and his body, you know, his anatomy, that's his role. But he loves the game. And he was the first guy at practice or one of them, always willing to stay late and work hard. And he became one of Gerard Gallant's favorite, which is what kept him on the team and got him a contract at the end of the first season. And Pete DeBoer, I think, really likes the guy too. So, yeah, I don't think you need more than one of them. Like I said, I think every team would like the one we have. Even if he doesn't go on the ice, it's just him sitting there watching. You hit somebody and you skate by Reeves, you feel him clearly. Like, I saw that. Like the commercial where he knocks the guy out.
Right.
And then afterwards he picks you up. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. I love the guy. How do you know?
Yeah, I don't want to replace him by no means. I don't want anybody to think that I wanted to replace him. I just wanted to know. I didn't know if there was, you know, something along the lines of having two. Like, do you, some team, you know, is it common to have a couple? But, you know, now that I know, I guess I got to pay more attention to the other guy to check in and see how
it, William Carrier. Definitely watch William Carrier. William Carrier probably is second on the team in hits behind Ryan Reeves, although Jonathan Marchessault has a little bit of the Napoleon complex. He loves hitting people and being physical too, because he's a small guy, but he plays bigger. And he's definitely going to have to score more. Believe me, they're talking to the former first line this year saying, you know, a lot of problems in the playoffs was our top scorers could not get the puck in the net. And you can credit Jobin all you want for Dallas. He played tremendously well. I don't care when you're Mark Stone, when you're William Karlsson, when you're Riley Smith, and you've got to put the puck in the net. And they didn't do that in the postseason. And there's going to be, I don't think we're getting rid of those guys, but trust me, they have unproductive first half of the season. You'll watch Pete DeBoer deal some of them. Some of our favorite players, DeBoer has no problem. He's not trying to win a popularity contest.
He's trying to win.
We're trying to get to the Stanley Cup. No, that makes sense. It's business all day before anything. And I think we just gravitate to them personally because it was our first professional team. It's a born and raised team. They went so far within their first season, which has never happened before. And then we get attached and familiarized with the players that are constant in the game and constant in our lives, if you will.
It's a great point, Mo. And, you know, one of the things with Ryan Reeves.
I mean, we get our donuts when Fleury, you know, has a great game.
You're right. Ryan Reeves, when he first came, if you remember, everyone complained. Like, I'm walking around the streets like, oh, my God, that's not our brand of hockey. What are they doing? They're messing up our cup. And I'm like, people just don't know yet in this town how important. Like, I've been playing hockey for forever. And but the thing is, I started playing in high school. I didn't start playing as a kid. And it's a sport like basketball where, you know, the problem with basketball is picking that game up late is you end up getting caught watching the ball. And what happens, Mo, when you watch the ball? You get your pocket picked. Yeah. You got to be looking around and knowing the ball's there. Yeah. When you're not a skilled player, you're watching yourself bounce the ball. Hockey is no difference. The key in hockey is the number one thing your coach tells you from the beginning, keep your head up. Because if you don't, your ass is going to get lit up. And mine got lit up a lot because I picked up the game later. But I was a fighter. My job was a Ryan Reeves guy. Every team I played for, my job would be to target the most skilled player on the other team, get him all pissed off at me. The two of us fight. We both get thrown out of the game. I don't hurt my team because I'm not putting the puck in the net.
Right.
It hurts their team. That's Ryan Reeves similar. Bother the guys who are doing well if you can.
Yeah.
I love it. And we also should say that I think the reason why Vegas became so engulfed with Vegas Golden Knights is because we are coming up on the 1 October anniversary tomorrow, 3 years since the massacre at Mandalay Bay, when Vegas Golden Knights came into our town and basically brought us all back together and put us back together. So, we're coming on 3 years. Our team's been around for 3 years now, and we've been in the playoffs for 3 years straight. Like, what team can say that they've done that in their first 3 years, period? You know, it's amazing.
Nobody. I mean, you're talking about going to the conference finals, two out of your first 3 years, the Stanley Cup finals in your first year, and you've made the playoffs all three. And if the Golden Knights don't get screwed on a terrible penalty call last year in game 7 against the Sharks, where they're up 3-0 with 10 minutes to go in the game, they at least make it to the second round last year. So the accomplishments can't be overstated. In my life, and girls, I'll bet in your lives too, mine's a little bit longer than yours, unfortunately, but I've never seen anything like it. And I said, you know, the Golden Knights, like I've told my family, I would never even bother putting something like that on a bucket list, an expansion team going to the championship series of their particular sport. And not just a true expansion team,
right?
Not a replacement team, but a team made from scratch. We'll never see like anything like that again. That is Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson times two. That's how big of an upset that was, what they did from beginning to end. And I've never seen anything like it. And I'm not going to kid you. Two or three times during that run at certain times with Vegas and feeling it, and they're playing, you know, they're playing the September or the October 1st thing on the screen and stuff. Man, I'm feeling my eyes starting to drip, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, from being from Detroit, and I've been here since 2004 now, and I feel like I can call myself a Las Vegan. After 15 years, I think that's got to be a cutoff point where you can say you're a local now. And I can't tell you that I've ever been prouder of a community. My own community, I mean, Detroit's had some issues, but they're trying to put it back together now. But I've never been more proud of a community or a city or anything than I have been Las Vegas. We all are transient, probably the most transient city in this country. And yet we came together like we were related after October.
Yeah.
People that I never knew, all of a sudden I'm walking down the street and people that you walk with, hey, how you doing? We got friendly. We became a friendly state. Like, we all got to love each other. Look what just happened here. It was ridiculous. And the Golden Knights, as you guys just pointed out, they really brought this together. It was one of the most amazing things. But them coming here, it just unified a city. And for us to get into hockey, being from Hockey Town, this was the coolest thing I've ever seen after one of the most horrific tragedies in our country's histories, you know? So really cool.
It was
great. To say that, because for me, being a born and raised person, and you two being people that have transplanted here and have been here for long enough to be deemed true locals by my definition of your 15 years, and Mel, what is it, 15, 16 years, 17 years, somewhere
18,
there.
Yeah.
This is great.
Wait, did you move here when you were 1 year old, Mel? I mean, you're a local for that reason.
Talk about it. From that perspective of the community and coming together. It means a lot to me because I felt like we were so distant because us being a small city at one point, we were together. You knew everybody, you knew who's who and that kind of thing. But as we grew, you didn't anymore. And people that were true locals moved out to the outskirts as far as possible if we could. and kind of stayed away from that. But it did bring us all back together, and it brought back people that are true locals that appreciate the city. So to your point, that's a great, great feeling that you must have had. Despite it all,
pride. So much pride.
I would never have guessed that, you know, being from here, that of our people that have moved here have felt a connection now to Vegas.
Did you ever think, Mo, did you ever think you'd see professional sports teams in Vegas?
I did not. I didn't even predicate us having over 3 million people residentially in the city. So imagine me not thinking that and not thinking a pros team. I just thought Vegas would always be that city. People come in to play and go back home. They don't come in.
Such a misconception that until I moved here in 2004, my idea of Las Vegas was a 2.5 mile stretch called Las Vegas Boulevard. That's all that existed here. Crazy when you move here.
We either don't live in Vegas or your parents don't work in Vegas. They all work out of town and fly to Vegas to work and then go somewhere else. Like, no one lives in Vegas. That was the kind of narrative of growing up.
Well, look at it this way. I'll tell you, girls, one thing that's really cool, and I've told people here all the time, is before I moved to Las Vegas in Detroit, I used to try to get out here at least once a year. I love the town. I love the lights. The neon extravaganza is incredible, and it's something to behold personally. But my point is that, you know, this is a vacation. And in Travel Magazine about 10 or 12 years ago, Las Vegas was listed as the number two. Out of 10,000 people polled, Las Vegas was the number two vacation destination that people said they wanted to see before they left this planet or before they died, basically. So I tell people, what do we do our whole life? We work so we can go on vacations. We all strive for vacations. We live on vacation. We live in Las Vegas, the number two vacation destination in the world. Every day you wake up, you're looking at a strip of land that people all over the world want to come and see. We live here. We need to be more proud of that and excited about the fact that, yes, it is a regular, stable environment and community, but it is also a place where people love to come and visit. Be happy with that. We get to live here.
Yeah, and I've taken full advantage of it before.
Definitely.
It impressed me on all accounts of appreciating the city. Now, with it being kind of shut down, we don't have, you know, spectators for the Raiders. You're talking about possible spectators for UNLV's Mountain West, you know, with the conference opening back up and UNLV's football team going to be playing starting in October down at Allegiant. What is your take actually about that? What are you thinking as far as how that's all transpired as far as Allegiant and if Mark Davis made the right call of not having the spectators? And now they're offering these price packages too, by the way.
Honestly, Mo, it's a great question, and I'm surprised because here's the deal. If you're going to open up the flipping casinos, which they needed to for our economy to survive and so many people that are out of work, you're opening up the bars, come on, you can't open up every other section. The only problem is this, that they have to, like, you know, basically tell the season ticket holders that next year your season tickets start. We're just going to randomly sell tickets to different areas because we can't separate the stadium and say, well, your season tickets are here, so you don't get to go this year. Or they make it every other game for season ticket holders and they switch sections. There's got to be a way to do this. Bless you, Mel. There's got to be a way to do this and get fans in, because I don't know that Mark Davis did it wrong. I think he's just trying to be politically correct, although after last night's debate, I don't know if politically correct's even a word anymore, but they're a term. But the whole thing is I think that they should try to figure out a way to get some fans into the stadium. You know, the cardboard cutouts have been funny for a while. I think we're all tired of them now. We know they're cardboard cutouts. They don't really, I guess from a distance that you get the delusion of people being in the stands, but you know, I think they need to find a way. We're starting to open back up. You know, none of us know how much of this has all been real and how much of it has been fake news. We just don't know, but it's to the point where so much is opening up now. Let the fans in the games. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, you're going to have to eventually, unless you're going to take out the seats of all these stadiums for the next 5 years, and it's going to be standing room only at social distancing to get 20,000 people in the stadium.
I don't even know how that could possibly work. And then also, to your point, I think they're slowly making progress to figure out how to generate revenue, because they've started these virtual tours and then tailgates now. So now you can pack your people in a car, pay $500 to be outside for VIP.
Ridiculous.
Outside of Allegiant.
Always a way to make money, isn't there? And then always a way to make money.
Go by the Al Torch, have drinks, cocktails, whatever, small group, some kind of tour, and part of the tour is you're going by the torch and that kind of, so they're trying to think of these ways to create some type of revenue. I do, though, admire, when you spoke of the cutouts, I do admire the Denver Broncos because they had the whole South Park in their
That is cool. I like the NBA fans. I like the NBA the best with the virtual fans, yeah, where they're actually there and they cheer. Do that. But I guess it would be harder to do in the bigger stadiums, like a football stadium and a baseball stadium. That would be hard to do. But I thought the NBA did it right. I thought that was a lot of fun seeing actual people.
I mean, they impressed the heck out of me as far as what they did for the bubble. I mean,
the bubble was incredible. It was so well orchestrated. Yes. You figure on a Disney property, go figure. You know, they're going to get it done right. And they really did. Hats off to Adam Silver and the entire NBA for getting it done, getting the entire, well, almost the entire season done. I know Mo is still very happy about the season. Me and Mel could see it go to the end tomorrow.
Very happy.
I know. I'll tell you both this. I've been asked this question over the past several years. I haven't answered it the same way in the last 2 years. But up until 2 years ago, for about 6 years, when someone asked me, Brian, now from Detroit, so it's already obvious that obviously I have to bleed Pistons. But other than that, who is your favorite NBA team? I get asked, what do you think my answer was to that question?
You had to say either Bulls or Lakers. It's one of those.
Right? My answer was LeBron James.
Oh, my gosh.
That was my answer. Because if your kid was 8 years old from the beginning of his run and is 8 years old and was born the first year he went to the finals, he was 8 years old and all he knew that every year for 8 years, LeBron James has been in the finals. Eight straight seasons. It wasn't matter what team he was on. They were in the finals. Here he is on another team 1 year after joining them, and they are in the finals again. I will never say, and you will never torture me and twist my toes, I will never say that the GOAT is LeBron James. I'm sorry. I lived through the Michael Jordan era. I watched that man play basketball live several times. Matter of fact, when we're together, I'll show you some unbelievable pictures that I have of Michael. And when Rodman was playing for, unbelievable up close. I had credentials for that whole run. It was unbelievable. Back in my younger days. But I saw Michael. I have never in my life see anybody like as competitive, as athletic and everything else as he was. I will say that Michael Jordan might be the most competitive person I have ever watched play a sport in my life. All it took was one thing. One guy could say, God, Michael's shoelaces are a little bit off today. Oh my God, he's going to drop 50 on you and embarrass and use you for making a small comment like that. Nothing. When Clyde Drexler, when the media came out and said, they tried to compare Clyde Drexler to Michael Jordan when they played Portland. Did you see what he did to that Portland?
Oh,
Clyde Drexler was a great basketball player.
He's like, wait, what?
He used him. Just used Clyde Drexler because don't try to say he's like Michael Jordan. Clyde Drexler is nowhere. And that was Michael's take. Don't put him in my category.
Yeah.
Now, would you
LeBron, but real quick, LeBron, the last thing I'll say about him, LeBron James, you know, I'm not going to ever call him the GOAT, but I'm never going to argue with someone that wants to. Because you know what? Come on, look what this guy has done. He is a freak of nature.
He is. And I would say in the past 17 years, LeBron James is the best player I've ever watched. In the past 17 years, in his whole entire season.
You're here.
That is probably the GOAT within the 17 years of basketball. I will say that. I will say he's the all-time GOAT. I will never go there on that. But I will say in the past 17 years of us watching basketball, there has been no other phenomenal player to watch than LeBron James. Hands down.
Cannot agree more.
What's ironic is with this game, you know, Lakers, our last appearance was what, back in 2010? Anthony Davis was 17 years old.
I am beyond impressed again. LeBron James, once again.
This guy, you know, when Kobe was playing, God rest his soul, his last years, the younger guys were calling him sir. I wonder if the brow is saying the same thing with LeBron. Is he calling him sir as well?
No, you call LeBron King. They call LeBron King for a reason.
King.
You got Kobe is sir. LeBron's going to always be king. And he deserves that moniker. And they're opening it up. I'm seeing they're opening up the Heat right now pretty bad. They're up over 20 points already. And in the third quarter with about 9 minutes to go in the game. So,
my God, yeah. Light work. Such light work. I love it.
Oh, Mo will never forget about Kobe, Nate. I mean,
I will never.
You know what? Any of us know, how can we forget about the Mamba? You know, I'm not going to say I was ever a big fan of Kobe Bryant as far as, you know, I'm a Detroit guy. And I always thought, you know, Kobe was so smart that I don't think he ever wanted to come across as condescending, but he was such an intelligent guy that occasionally when he spoke, he would come across that way. And I would forget, this guy's IQ is through the roof. He speaks like five different languages. Give him a break, Brian. And I would have to remind myself, he's not trying to be pompous or condescending. He's just so smart that he's coming across that way. But Kobe Bryant, for what he did for this universe, and for God's sakes, I pray, thank God Asia Wilson had such a good year, but what he did for the WNBA, I don't know that anyone will be able to step in and fill this guy's shoes because he was such an advocate of such a great spectacle. We've learned here in Vegas, you want to mess with these ladies? The WNBA is no joke, okay? That is a real, legitimate professional league. And anyway, it's funny because we joke with Caleb all the time on my show. Caleb thinks he could take Asia Wilson at a game like
that. Oh, Lord.
Dude, why is Caleb trying to a reigning MVP?
No, unbelievable. But look what Kobe did for that league. So Kobe Bryant, like I said, my love for him since his passing, unfortunately, has grown exponentially. Well, now I've looked back and I've had time to do due diligence on what that man has done for everyone and how generous and charitable and what a giant, one of the biggest losses of the last two decades in this country, in my opinion, is Kobe Bryant.
We've seen it in 2020, but you know, this game is for Mamba, and I don't want to hear anything about if Lakers win or we are going to win. I ain't going to say if there's an asterisk by this year or this season because of the bubble and the circumstances. No, we picked up right where we left off. We just moved the venue. Players still stayed the same. The only thing that changed was the venue. And we still
lost your starting point guard and still did all this.
And we went up against formidable opponents. We really did. Now, what's your take as far as the Doc Rivers situation? And how was your take on the Clippers? Were you one that predicated that the Clippers were going to be the ones that we faced?
You know, I just got to say, you look at the Clippers' record in the postseason and in Doc Rivers' tenure, and they just don't advance in the postseason. And, you know, this year, especially getting Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, I mean, you know, you're talking about two of the more dominant players in the NBA. And there were people arguing they won't this year that are trying to say Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the NBA. Okay. And, you know, shame on you if you say that until LeBron retires, nobody should talk about anybody being the best player in the NBA but him. And if he hasn't put an exclamation point on it this year, I don't know what more this guy can do. But Doc Rivers needed to get this team more motivated, perform better. Hey, I'm a big Doc Rivers fan. Doc Rivers stands up for what he believes in. He speaks his mind. I hated him when he was an Atlanta Hawk back in those days because him and Dominique Wilkins used to hurt my Pistons every now and again. But as far as what he has done as a coach in the NBA, I think it's not enough. And will Doc Rivers get another opportunity? Absolutely. He's mature. He's respected. And he is a good advocate for the NBA in general. But with this Clippers team, they've got to find a coach that can coach. And it's not – Kawhi Leonard is a lot of times misconstrued for a guy with a big ego. He's just a private guy. He wants to be a private guy, not so much of a big ego. But you got to find a way to coach him. And if you let Kawhi get away with murder, he will get away with murder. You got to coach him. And he's got to find somebody that he respects. I mean, he had trouble with Pop in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, if you're going to have trouble with Pop, who – you know, arguably next to Phil Jackson, who's the second best coach in NBA history and maybe even the best. You know, I don't know that if you're telling me, you know, we're giving you Phil Jackson, a week later you call me up and say, you know what, Phil's not going to make it. It's going to be Popovich is going to coach your team. Instead, I wouldn't. OK, I'm fine with that. You know, so I mean, you know, Kawhi Leonard, they got to find somebody that can coach this guy, because if you can figure out a way to keep him motivated and not have letdowns in big games, and especially Paul George, another guy that in the postseason in certain times completely disappears.
Yeah,
this team is a team that should be competing. It should be them that have played the Lakers, not Denver in the conference finals. And that should have been a 6 or 7 game series with the Lakers winning. But we were all expecting that was going to be our NBA finals. What a letdown. Although Denver, what a great story they were.
Wow.
And Miami right now, in my opinion, since the pandemic started, the Miami Heat are the best story since the pandemic started.
I've been watching them through the entire bubble, Brian, and I just thought they were phenomenal. And I knew the Heat was going to come down to the Heat and us.
So much fun to watch them. They're just such a fun team to watch play basketball.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Girl Chat Sports with Mo and Mel and Brian Feldman from Out of Line. You want to get into some football, Mel, and see what Brian's take is on the week three and everything that's happened? And
yeah, I mean, you know, week three, it's like more injuries, more injuries, more. I don't know what is happening this year. It's just, it's almost insane to think about. We're only on finishing week three, going on to week four. Not only do we have COVID now to battle because we've got a game postponed between the Steelers and the Titans that was supposed to play Sunday because of the Titans testing positive. What I'm kind of trying to understand too is we heard about the Titans postponing and the game being postponed, but what happened to the Vikings last weekend? I mean, because they played the Titans, I guess because they have no positive test, they're just good to go. But usually when you're in contact with anybody that tests positive, you're supposed to have like a 10-day quarantine.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. It's pretty surprising, although the way the Vikings, other than their defense, have played this year, I don't think they think they are the real Vikings, so they're not testing. It's like, these guys aren't even the Vikings. I'm teasing. I don't like the Vikings. But no, it's a really good point, Mel, that you brought up. Like week two, there was like, I think, five or six ACL season-ending injuries in week two alone. They said it was the most in one week in like 10 years in the NFL. Is that the lack? And we're all complaining about the preseason and thinking, maybe this will let us know we don't need this preseason, the team. But man, the conditioning of preseason and getting your body game ready, especially like that second to last preseason game where all the players played three quarters of the game, I think that the lack of that is hurting them. And it was a great point. No, not enough people are talking about the amount of injuries this year. This is going to be a record. Remember I said this, Mo and Mel, you're going to see fantasy football leagues with the 7 and 8 seed. The people that were hating their pick with 7 and 8, they're the ones that are going to be winning the leagues this year.
Yeah.
Because the guys with the top picks, they're losing everybody. I mean,
I had Saquon. So
Saquon Barkley.
One of my fantasy teams. We're wrapped. Five of them.
It's unbelievable. And we are all scrambling. We're learning about new faces and new players. Yeah. And I mean, that is a good thing. One thing I will say, though, Mel and Mo, that even though we've seen a lot of injuries and we didn't see a preseason, there have been some really entertaining football games, and the Raiders have been a part of a couple of them. I mean, that Raiders-Saints game was phenomenal to watch. It was exciting. I was on the edge of my seat. I couldn't believe it. You know, and we're seeing that in a lot of games. You know, Seattle's given us some unbelievable football games. That Seattle-New England game, you know, I'll tell you another guy. I mean, I'm so happy for Cam Newton being back in the game and people dumping on him and thinking, you know, they're forgetting this guy is the size of a defensive lineman playing quarterback. People don't realize how big he is. Watch somebody like a linebacker, a 240-pound linebacker run into him. Cam takes like two steps backwards and then runs away from the guy. He is a monster, and he just hasn't been healthy. And like, lo and behold, leave it to Bill Belichick, man, Mr. Plug and Play. Is he really going to replace Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to be better? Are you kidding me?
He always pulls through when he needs to. It's like he just pulls the rabbit out the hat and is like, ta-da!
Love him or hate him, Mel, he's the GOAT. That is the GOAT. Bill Belichick is the GOAT. We can hate him. We can say he's a cheater. He's everything else. Don't say any of that to me. This guy wins. And the funny thing is, the greatest job in America, you want to apply for the greatest job. Every time the defensive coordinator position opens up in New England, apply for it. You don't have to do any work because Bill's the real deal. And then you get a great head coaching job.
Yeah, you get your own team. That's magic right there. That's magic. Mm-hmm. So what do you
see in New England and Seattle? And you guys are playing back in Seattle too for that. So, man, bring it on. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm declaring it, Kansas City Chiefs, ain't nobody beating them. Nobody's beating the Chiefs right now.
They got to have a bad game. You know,
One of the great capable of having a bad game because everybody's giving it props to Andy Reid, but it's actually Eric Bieniemy. Those plays that I was seeing the other night were all Eric Bieniemy. I mean, who does a three-ball hand toss in a pass play? Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. And not have a tackle or a fumble or nothing.
I got to have you girls on my show.
They're no joke right now.
That is such good perception. I'm really shocked at that because Eric Bieniemy is one of the most underrated minds in the National Football League. He is so in the ingenuity he shows in the offense. You see all these plays. And the thing is, it's not just that they're trick plays. They are well-designed motion plays, and they make the game more fun to watch and more interesting. And you are 100% right. The Kansas City Chiefs offense is him. It's not Andy Reid. It's Eric Bieniemy, and he doesn't get the credit for it. This guy has always been a smart guy. I listened to him give a lecture years ago when he was playing for the University of Colorado, and like he got like an A on some theme paper in quantum politics or something. Like, you got to be like a genius to do that. He's a really smart guy. And you think because he's this little guy that wasn't a great NFL player, that no, some of the greatest minds come from that. And you are right. But Kansas City, there's one of my favorite movies ever called Any Given Sunday, meaning any given Sunday, anybody can win a football game. I mean, the Detroit Lions came back and beat Arizona last Sunday. Yeah. They didn't do me any favors. So anything can happen. But you're right. For the Chiefs to get beat, they're going to have a flat game. This is a team, or Patrick Mahomes goes down. It's that simple. That one loss like that, and you're done.
Yeah. That's
but no, they are really good. But the jersey that Mel's wearing over there in the corner, the Seahawks, don't sleep on that team this year.
Oh, no.
I will tell you what, Russell Wilson has figured this game out as good as any quarterback that's ever played this game. He is one of the most cerebral quarterbacks I have ever seen, and he just gets the job done. He is a winner, period. And everything the guy done, you know, to transfer to Wisconsin his senior year after playing at North Carolina and just going right in and winning that job and taking it away from the starter, taking him to a bowl game, and ended up a year later becoming the starting quarterback of the Seahawks in his rookie year. Don't ever sleep on this guy. And guys like Lockett, who are underappreciated, Tyler Lockett just gets open and catches the football, and yet he's drafted in the fourth and fifth round of fantasy drafts. This guy's going to get you a point. Seattle is nobody's. The key to Seattle is their defense is going to have to be consistent. If Seattle's defense can be consistent, and obviously Carson is a little concerned now, the running game, but Seattle's a team I don't sleep on in the NFC. As a matter of fact, secretly, I have them winning the NFC this year and losing to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think for us, it's always been about injuries and being able to stay healthy. Every year, we seem to have these injury seasons. Like last year, going on our four-string running back was just insane for playoffs. You know what I mean? Carson, it sounds like he's good. It should only be like a week or two. But we also still have, you know, the rookie we drafted. We've got Homer still. There's Carlos Hyde that – I think I saw alert that he might even be tweaked a little bit for this weekend, but you know,
Bobby Wagner's still playing too, isn't he? He's 106 years old.
Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. I mean, we've got talent there. It's more so the injuries. And I know after the ejection of Quandre Diggs against the New England Patriots, I thought, okay, he's coming back, but he actually, I don't know if he tweaked something too, because he was out last game too, which then caused Seattle. We had brought up like two or three guys off the practice team just for last game. You know, injuries.
And they still found a way. And they still found a way to get the job done.
Well, it's Russell. I mean, here's the deal. My whole thing is, how has this guy never had an MVP vote ever? Not one.
He will this year because everyone's been talking about that. It is an absolute crime, and I think it's based on his size and stature, and not on what he does on the field. And they just say, "Look at him. He's a little guy." But Patrick Mahomes not the biggest dude. Mahomes isn't the biggest dude in the world either. You know, but no, Russell Wilson, if Russell Wilson stays healthy, I think you're going to have your MVP in Seattle this year. I do.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Brian. I think that's unfair with Russell Wilson because he's a quick scrambler, too, because of his size and stature. He gets out of pockets real easily. I mean,
he feels pressure as good as any quarterback in the league when they say a guy feels pressure. Russell Wilson, it looks like that old saying, they have eyes in the back of their head.
Yeah.
He feels pressure behind him. Like, oh, yeah. The last guy I saw that felt pressure like that, I got to go all the way back to, like, Joe Montana, that felt pressure from behind like Russell Wilson. He has that kind of uncanny ability. It's cool to watch. I love him. And he's a great athlete. Just love him.
He did have a little struggle not seeing as much behind him during Dallas. But, I mean, you know, our offensive line has stepped up a little bit this season. I won't say much, just baby steps, but it has made some improvements. And hopefully, my whole thing is, I know there's a whole let Russ cook thing, and we all love that. We all want him to keep throwing. The thing is that I don't mind if you still need to run out the pocket. Like, still scramble if you got to. And I feel like with Dallas's game, he didn't take those advantages when he probably could have. But, hey, we still won. It came down to the last like 6 seconds again. And of course I had another heart attack. Add that to the collection every Sunday. It doesn't seem like I can ever get away without having some cardiac issues due to my team, but I'll take the 3-0 so far.
When it's said and done, like Vince Lombardi once said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Oh,
Seattle's winning.
Yes.
So
yes,
there's the bio. I just got an update here. Just took a head injury. He's headed to the locker room in this series. Hope Bam is okay. We don't want any injuries to happen. We want to win this fair and square. We don't want any perceptions of
especially him. This guy has developed into a superstar this year.
Yeah. I just pray that everything's okay. Well, I'll be able to catch it on the replay, but yeah.
That's well, and per Jose, they're already up. What is it now? Oh, it's 89-61 with 2:50 left in the third quarter. So we'll get to Rapids so that we can all catch the fourth quarter. what else do we have to go through? Oh, last game for the Lights is on Saturday. So anybody here in Las Vegas, make sure you tune in. It's the last game. Am I frozen?
No.
Or someone else frozen? Oh, okay. Last home game is Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see that. You know, our Lights are still here. Our Aces are in the WNBA championship. Brian, do you think the ladies are able to bring Las Vegas their first professional championship?
There is no question they're able to do it. They showed tremendous intestinal fortitude coming back against an underrated Connecticut Sun team that really decided they were going to play some basketball, and they were tired of being told that they shouldn't even be there, and they damn near took out the Aces that I thought were a far superior team. However, when you're, you know, I mean, and again, with the Sun, I mean, you know, watching Alyssa Thomas play, wow, was she good. She just was flat out good, and she carried the Sun team at times on her back. She reminded me of a female Michael Jordan a few times in there, just literally taking she's like, we're willing good. This team to win. Yeah. But as far as, you know, going on and moving into the next round, the Storm aren't the Sun. No. And it is going to be a difficult task for this team. They are all gonna have to play their best. They're gonna have to stay healthy, you know. Their best players are going to have to be their best players. And Asia Wilson is going to have to be as consistent as she has been throughout the playoffs. We saw last year in the postseason. Now, granted, Asia was a bit hurt, much more hurt than I think all of us knew. And she sat there and took it, made no excuses. She is one of the most class acts I've seen in any sport. I love that woman. You could not get a better spokesman for this league to lose Kobe Bryant and have a personality, a dynamic personality like Asia Wilson. WNBA better appreciate the hell out of her. But she's going to have to be the MVP for them to beat the Storm in a series. I just don't know how you beat the Storm in a series. I don't know that they can do it.
And with Dirk injured, what's that time frame look like? Because we've got a
game. She's out.
So there's going to be a lot of adjustments, and people are going to have to play up. I have to give props to Carolyn Swartz, who wasn't even expected to be one of our centers this season. We thought we'd have Liz Cambage out there, but she put up 10 boards on rebounds this last game and really stepped up. So I think we have to see more of that from her too, to get big in that defensive side in the paint, because it counted, it mattered, and it made the win part of the win success.
We're going to see how good of a coach Bill Laimbeer is in this next series.
A lot of people
question his coaching ability.
I like Bill, but I always question, like, hey, now
you have a right to question Mo.
I'm not agreeing with
Mo. You get respect for what you do because you're 100% right. You have to question his ability. I think this team is better than they've played, and I have to blame that on their coach. They have the pieces in place to be as good as anybody. I mean, you don't have Brittany Griner and what's her name on the same team, Taurasi on the same team.
Right.
But in the same respect, you have Asia Wilson and Liz Cambage on the same team and some other very Deanna Cahambry. You've got some unbelievable players on this team. And Bill Laimbeer, you know, defense wins championships, and this team has some serious defensive lapses, which is what cost them the games that it cost them. That is on Bill Laimbeer to devise a defense that stops this. That's all him. And he played on one of the best defensive teams in NBA history. Right. Granted, they were a bit of a bruising NBA team.
Right.
I don't think you want to coach the Aces to play like the bad boys. But in the same respect, you got to D this team up, and they have the skilled players to D this team up.
Yeah,
they do. Well, we're looking forward to that game's going to be on Friday. I'm excited. I can't wait. I just it's going to be a very uphill battle. That's for sure. I can only.
I'm more excited about that than about anything other than maybe football Sunday. I mean, and you guys said earlier with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm going to second this. You know, it's funny. I saw one Stanley Cup final game. That was it. As I record, I lost the lust after the Knights went out. And I'm a gigantic hockey fan, but number one, I'm just not a big Tampa fan. And I like Dallas, but they beat the Knights, so I hated them. Yeah. You know, from my team. So it's like, I don't care who wins this thing. The truth is, I wanted it to go seven. Whenever my team isn't in it, I just want to see as many games as possible. I want it to go seven. I want you have nothing to worry about, obviously, and you know that the Heat's losing. That they're not. There's no way they can beat this Lakers team. But I want it to go seven. I want this to be a great story. I'll be happy if your Lakers win in seven. And if they win, I don't think you'll be depressed if you get it in seven. But what a great story for the NBA right now that's taking a little bit of abuse to have a seven-game series with the best story in sports, the Miami Heat, going this far. And I got to tell you another, just real quickly, I'll leave that subject on the NBA again. Man, my respect factor for Jimmy Butler has just gone.
Oh, man.
I mean, oh, my God.
Talk about it.
I wish the Bulls
ever questioned this guy's heart or his ability. People question his heart, that it's not always in it. Are you kidding? Watch. Go back and watch every game this year.
He wanted his family to come to the bubble. He says, hey, we've been away with our families for this long. We're
exactly right.
I'm trying to get there. Yeah.
If he's all about ego, he plays like garbage with no fans. He didn't care about the fans. It's all about loving the game. And he played without a single fan there, loving the hell out of the game. Okay. And there's been nobody more fun by himself, other than we didn't get to see Dallas play beyond the first round because they're a pretty fun team to watch too. Yeah. But other than that, man, I have loved watching Jimmy Butler play this. I am glued to Miami plays.
I've been enjoying them too.
And please, people out there, anybody watching, please give Eric Spoelstra some credit now. Stop saying it was LeBron that made Eric Spoelstra. Look what this guy has done. He's reconstructed a team that nobody – Miami was like 70-1 to win this thing at the beginning. I mean, come on. This guy's construct – him and Pat Riley, please take your hat off to these two
people
because they have constructed a great team down there in South Beach.
Yeah.
Yes, they have.
There'll be playoffs starting tonight too. Well, some games started yesterday because – Indians got brutalized by the Yankees. I've never seen 10 runs like that against to one with the Indians. But my Dodgers play tonight. Are you a fan still of your Detroit Tigers, or have you moved to the West Coast, Brian?
Yeah, no. I Mo, it's one of those things where I was born and raised in Detroit. I spent 5.5 years of my life working for CBS Sports Radio, actually called the Detroit Lions, Tigers, and Red Wings Radio Network. Mm-hmm. So I bleed these teams, and you know, we can go off on that all day. I mean, the Detroit Lions, nobody's broken my heart more. I mean, if we start talking about it, I'll end up under my desk sucking my thumb again. So I don't want to get too much into the Detroit Lions, but no, I'm still a big fan of the Detroit teams. Right now, it's very disappointing as every one of their teams in each prospective sport is doing poorly, but I love baseball. I always have. And your Dodgers being an LA fan, wow, they're going to be a very tough team to beat. For once, Clayton Kershaw is going to come into the postseason playing great and healthy. And it's not that he hasn't been healthy before. He's just used up.
It's a shorter season.
That's the reason. Dodgers are going to be a very tough out. But there's another team that just went through today, and I'm very concerned. I do not want to see this team do well in the postseason, and I don't think anyone does, and that's the Houston Astros. I'm upset that they won. This team needs to get bumped right away. I'm still in a lot of pain over a guy that I loved, a little guy like Jose Altuve cheating. It's so bothersome to me. When you've got that kind of ability, you're an underdog, and so many people look up to you to say a little guy at 5'7 can be one of the best players. And then you're cheating, dude. Please get the Houston Astros out of the playoffs. Somebody bump them.
Somebody's going to knock them out. We've got the Brewers, our series. I feel like we'll knock them out. Anybody else over in the AL probably.
I hope so. I hope you get them because I just need them to go away.
I need them to go too.
Yankees are playing good ball again too. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Dang Yankees, man.
What's going on? It's crazy how all of these sports are intersecting right now.
But thank God they are, Mo. For a while, I'm sitting at home watching DVD reruns of games and stuff. I mean, just to get my fill. I caught myself 3 different times, and actually I've gotten pretty good at the game now, watching cornhole on ESPN, for God's sakes. And so now we've got a cornhole set back here in my office, and I've watched it so much that I got good at it, for God's sakes. I told people, you know, Vince, but can you imagine telling people, because they were saying the top players in cornhole in the world, the endorsements and stuff, they make close to seven figures. Can you imagine telling somebody living in a big house, what do you do? I'm a professional hornhole.
I would have never guessed that. I need to get on it then.
You can do good playing cornhole. I think they need to find another better name for the game. It just doesn't sound right. Just like I said, when I first heard it, I'm like, is that really?
Well, Brian, I watched the Slippery Stairs contest on the Ocho when they started.
I love it.
During quarantine, I was fascinated by folks slipping on these stairs with water flowing down. Of course,
I was watching it too, Mo. We're probably watching it at the same time. Gotta watch something. And, you know, although I did catch up on a lot of classic movies that I either haven't seen or hadn't seen in years. I saw Gone with the Wind again. God knows the last time I saw that, but I watched that over the pandemic. Nice. So, you know, you do see all, you know, we have had a chance to catch up. But thank God sports are back. And you girls are doing such a great job. I'm honored to be on the show. I really, really appreciate you. Yeah.
Well, no, thank you. Long overdue. And we really appreciate you coming on.
Yes.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. What a great way to end my day. Very cool.
Well, we're going to let everybody go so we can watch the game. We're over an hour. Mo, maybe me and you can do a live tomorrow and do our picks so we can get that out the way maybe tomorrow or something. And we did tie last week with our picks. So
We tied.
Yeah. So, but anyways, you guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Thank you to Brian Feldman, Out of Line. Sundays. 8 to 9 a.m. Is it? Where can people find you, like on Twitter or Instagram?
Well, Fox Sports is at Out of Line. FoxLV is the Twitter handle. You can go there and find us there. And check it out, 8 o'clock to 9 Monday morning. These two girls will be on with us soon. And we have a lot of fun. We really do in the morning. Caleb Herring, my co-host, of course, last quarterback, he loves it. My God, I told him I got to take it out of the open. He said I'd walk out of the studio. But he's the last quarterback to win a bowl, to take UNLV to a bowl game. And God knows how long he'll hold that record for. But we have a lot of fun together. We cover it's 90% sports, but based on some of the social issues that have gone on, me and Caleb have talked about that because, you know, I've always felt there's so many social injustices in this country. It's not funny. I don't like seeing violence in any way, shape, or form. Our presidential debate is all that. I'm not going to talk about that. I stay away from politics. But what I will say is it made me sick last night that I have to vote for two people that argue like my children did when they were 8 and 9 years old. It was the most unbelievable. And I mean, I just pray that somehow it was blacked out in a few countries because we got to be the laughing stock of the world after that.
Absolutely.
So we do talk about stuff like that occasionally. Yeah. Caleb is very opinionated on it. And man, he's a very intelligent guy. And listen to his opinions, people, because he has something. Plus, Caleb does work for Metro. So you can imagine being an African-American man and working for Metro, what he goes through as a human being. And to say he's got his head together, my respect for him, just like he goes mucho, great deal of respect. And I'm honored to be on the show with Caleb and my co-host. So if you get a chance, check us out. We have a lot of fun too. Chris Chapman, Spencer Ostrowski, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's
great, man. Yeah, Chris Chapman too.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, thank you guys. We will see you all next Wednesday, same time, same channels.
Thanks, girls. Bye. Sorry for talking so much.
You're good. All right.